Amen. Lord, we just thank you that we can come together and worship you. We thank you that your love for us is just beyond imagination. And we thank you for that. We thank you that you have died for our sins, and you're saved, and we have a home in heaven. We thank you for that gift, God. We praise you for it. Lord, I just pray now this morning you would just speak to us and open our hearts and what you have to say about faith, about our trust in you, and just what you're speaking clearly to us, and just open our hearts to clearly understand. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word that is a revelation to us. I pray you anoint me with the Spirit. I just speak things to the Spirit, and each heart would be open. So again, thank you for this morning, and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, you can see the title of the message this morning. Faith decisions. All right, so faith decisions. Focus on this. And we're going to be looking at Hebrews, starting off with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. It says this: by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. Now, this is the third message on faith. Okay, it's the third message on faith. And so what we have here is, you know, like I said before, all of chapter 11 can just stand alone on faith to look at it and read it. But it helps us again when we look at the whole context of what God is trying to tell us here, is that he's making in the first 10 chapters this revelation of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, and just gone into great detail. And it really is, the majesty is overwhelming, the information is overwhelming when you look at what he's done. So he's presented it to us so we know. So he's talking to us as we know, because what do we know? We know chapters 1 through 10. And so we have a good understanding. And so he is touching and speaking on us, believing we have a good understanding, all right? And so we want to look at it in that way. And so just in summary, when it talks, he says, live by faith. Okay, he ends it up. He goes, chapter 10, live by faith. Well, faith, having faith, we just condense here, having faith means that we believe what God told us and we act upon it. Now that's huge. It's huge. And I'm repeating a little bit, you know, and it's faith is based on something God told us. Okay? And we'll use the example. Sometimes I want a new car. And I say, well, just come up. You have faith. You need a little bit more, you know, power behind something than me. See, that's not faith. That's not faith. As, hey, you work at it. There's presumption. Maybe you'll get it. Maybe you can work the issues and get a car and everything works out fine. That's good. But it's not faith. It's not faith from God. And so God, when he says faith, he's saying something very different. And we need to be very careful. And as a pastor, I'm very careful about what I say about faith. If someone comes to me with an issue, one of the last things I will say to them, one of the last things I'll say to them, say, have faith. Well, in what? In what? Well, in God. In what way? What way in God, you know? So God is very specific, and like I said, he spent 10 chapters putting in context that he can go, now live in faith. He spent that much time. How dare we just throw out to somebody as Christians? It's almost like throwing a curse out on people, unloving, unkind. So the context here is that he's told us something. He told us something, so we have the information. Amen? We have the information. And he says, live by faith. And then what he does in chapter 11, we go, okay, that we think we got it. Then what he does in chapter 11, says, let me show you some folks that did it. Let me show you some folks that did it. And you're going to have a good perspective on how this thing works. See how he's helping us out? He flows us, and he's telling us to help us understand this. And he understands that we need some guidance on how to understand it, you know. And so we start off here. You couldn't go farther back to start off. He starts off with Cain and Abel. I mean, it's like, well, that's like going in the beginning, isn't it? I mean, okay, you're going way back. See, and so what we have here, we're looking at this with this context. So we look at this, and God sees fit to start with Cain and Abel. So what we have here is having died in faithfulness, he's talking about Abel here, having died in faithfulness, Abel, by example, continues to speak the message of dedicated faith. That's what he's saying, because he's starting off on faith. What are we looking? He says, I'm showing you faith. Abel had it. He did what I told him. See? And so we have this picture that it's dedicated. He didn't back off. He stood strong with it. He trusted God. And yet, he died in faith, trusting God. Now, we can't be sure why Cain's offering fell short. Okay, we can't be sure. Lots of people have really done some research and looked on that, and I'm just going to tell you my opinion. They don't know. They don't. They're just guessing, all right? But it wasn't, God wasn't happy with Cain's offering. However, we do know that God spoke to both Cain and Abel. He spoke to both of them. We know that because we can look in Genesis and we could see that God spoke to both of them. So it wasn't out of ignorance, you know, that Cain didn't have the best offering. And it's interesting when you read Genesis about it, he warns him a couple of times. I said, listen, Cain, you're messing up here. So he tells him, you know, he communicates that to him, all right? So we had this position that Abel and Cain each had a faith decision to make. They both heard God. They both, without question, they both heard God. So when we look at this, we got to think ourselves, we have a decision to make. We have it just like Cain and Abel. We have a decision. It's our decision. It's our decision. God lets him make it. You know, people say, someone will do something to you or something bad. God, how did you let that happen? He didn't do it. They did it. God, how did you let Cain do that to Abel? He didn't let Cain do that. Cain did that to Abel. Now, in God's sovereignty, he understood the whole context of it. But Cain, God didn't do that. Cain did that. Don't blame God for what somebody else does, all right? And he said, what about poor Abel? He says, Abel is an example of me and my dedication for all eternity. Okay, that's good. But what he died. Yeah, that shows the depth of his dedication. And that's what I'm asking of you. It's not kind of lukewarm, wishy-washy faith. He said, no, that's, I don't get it. And we jump to Revelation, you know, and we have Revelation, and one of the churches, he says, you're lukewarm. That's what he said. He says, you're lukewarm. And then he says, you make me want to throw up. That's paraphrase. But that's what I said. You're lukewarm. I want to throw up. Abel was not lukewarm. And Abel is an example. You know, God's excited about Abel. Excited about Abel. And so, again, so here's the picture. This is important. Lukewarm doesn't cut it. Hearing God is important, but Cain and Abel heard God. It's hearing God and then doing what God told you. See, that's faith. That's faith. And you stand on it to the point of even death. All right? So there's an intensity when we go into chapter 11, and it starts with Abel in creation. In creation. Now, the next guy, so he throws in, and we have another pre-flood hero, Enoch. How many of you know about Enoch? You know, Enoch. When I first read the Bible, I said, they just threw this guy, Enoch. You know? Well, here we are in Hebrews, the people of faith. He said, yeah, let me tell you about Enoch. He's another one, you know. And so, it's fascinating. So we look at Enoch, again, pre-flood. We're going way back. Hebrews 11:5. Again, the faith, the dedication of faith, the standing. I mean, this is not a light subject, all right? So look at Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was praised as one who pleased God. What pleased? Why was God pleased with him? He had faith. He heard him. He did what he said. I'm pleased. Did the same thing as Abel. Now, I don't know. It looks to me like Enoch got the better deal of this. But anyway, but it was. They're both the same. They had the same faith, the same dedication. Abel, his faith, and Enoch, his faith. They were noted for the same faith. And God said, I was pleased with Enoch. You know, he just said Abel. It says Abel still speaks today. What speaks about Abel? His faith, his dedication to what God says. So here you have this picture. Enoch's faith pleased God so much, he took him to heaven without him experiencing death. Now that's kind of a big deal, isn't it? It's very interesting. And by the way, you want to look at it. It says it. That's what it says in Genesis 5:24. It tells you in Genesis 5:24. Now, I'm going to just throw a little something in here, personally. I believe also this is an Old Testament example of the New Testament rapture of believers before the end times. See? Everybody, well, gosh, you just raptured the church up. And I don't know how you get that. Well, you say, yeah, he told us about it. He told us, I told you about that. Where? Well, don't you know anything about Enoch? Hey, hon, who's Enoch? You see what I'm saying? But anyway, that's just my opinion. I do believe Enoch, you know, the purpose of this thing, Enoch's a picture of faith. God's pleased with him. He takes him to him. He's raptured up, caught up alive. The church is raptured up, I believe, before the tribulation. Because he's pleased with us, he catches us up. And we don't go through the tribulation. We don't go through God's wrath. All right. Just something to think about. Here's the verse where that comes from. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:17, talking about the church before Jesus returns. We who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so will we be with the Lord forever with Enoch. Okay. It's significant to note that both Abel and Enoch are in heaven. Okay, that's the goal. Okay, so they both got there. See, it's significant. But they're both different types of faith, and they went through different things in this earth. So they're both in heaven. And so they flows on down in this whole picture and what we've already been over about faith. Next, we have the examples of Noah and Abraham who made faith decisions. By faith, Noah, when warned, built. By faith, Abraham, when called, went. Oops, I said, by faith, Noah, when warned, built. By faith, Abraham, when called, went. Okay? When called, went. When warned, built. Okay? So, and here it, you know, helps us to understand Sarah's faith at this time. You know, in verse 11, we see Sarah's faith decision. It says, by faith, Sarah, this is Abraham's wife, if you know, by faith, Sarah was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. She believed what God told her. See, her faith. She was enabled. I hear you, okay? I believe you. I hear you, but do you believe it? And your actions tell you whether you believed, you know. So it's an evidence. It's an evidence. Was enabled because she considered God faithful who made the promise. You see this? You know, so this whole thing, he says, understand faith. Gosh, I wish I had faith. Just believe me. Just believe me. You know, these are just regular folk. What made them different? They believed me. You got Abel and Cain. What's the difference? I don't know. But I know Abel believed him. I know there's some issue that Cain didn't or didn't trust him. They didn't trust him. So it's our decision. God's going, my hands are like this. It's the people. And he's telling us to have faith. And again, we have something to base our faith on. Now, so as you see this flowing out here, faith has everything to do with our mindset. I've done this, you know, I know people, oh, Lord Jesus, just come upon me, just fill me, you know. He said, just change your mind, act like you're supposed to, all right? You know, don't just have me to come over in your unbelief and try to get something done. I just believe, then I'll move, you know, in faith. So faith has everything to do with our mindset. You know, it's just good to realize that. I mean, I'm telling you, when I tell you these things, it's because these questions I go through. So I'm not doing this. I'm pointing this way. You know, well, why don't they? How come they? Why didn't he? Why is this? What do you mean? It's their mindset. It's their mindset. That's where their mind was. Linda talked to a lady the other day, and this was horrifying. Unfortunately, we know them. And I'm going to say it to Linda. It wasn't to Linda, but it was somebody else. And the comment about their walk with the Lord, and the other person who was raised in the church says, you still drinking that Kool-Aid. What happened? Mindset. Now it's evidence. We have evidence. It's her mindset. Why did God didn't do that. He spoke, and I know this person for sure. They know. It's not even a question. It like they know. But you're still drinking that Kool-Aid. I mean, that's just horrifying to me. But you see what I'm saying? Why did God let that happen? What do you mean, let it happen? She did it. I don't know what happened, but she did it. And she knew the truth, the facts. Didn't buy into it, but she knew what they were. Now, so anyway, helps us with faith. Don't try to base our faith on what somebody else does. You know, I just don't. It's just, you know. It doesn't work that way. So faith has to do with our mindset. And then what God does, he shows us here the heartfelt belief that was in Abraham and all these people of faith. It shows what motivated them. Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Noah. Okay, here's what motivated them. He tells us, there's not an overhead here, but it's in Hebrews 11, verses 10, 13, and 16. I'm going to read this to you. He shows us why these people have faith. Okay? We want to know, why don't we have faith? Okay? Do we believe why, like these people believed? And here it is. He is talking about Abraham. We'll say the heroes of faith. We'll pull them all in here. Say, we're looking forward. This is Hebrews 11, 10. For they were looking forward. If you have that, underline that. Which way were they looking at? They were looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Where was their mind? Where was their mind? There's something bigger than this. There's something bigger than this. And there's a place. There's a place whose builder and architect is God. That's why they were different. That's all that made them different. It's all that made them different. Then it goes on to say, verse 13, they only saw these promises, from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. We don't belong here. I want everything the world has. You don't belong here. You don't. I got something bigger than you. You look forward to the city whose architect is God. You don't belong here. You're a foreigner. You are a stranger on this earth. Now you're here and we say, pray, you know, thy will be done. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know, so we're asking God to invade the place we don't belong. You know, say, come in. And this place ain't working. So you will come in here, you know, take care of some stuff. You know, see, so it says, looking forward to city whose architect is, but we have a vision. Why? Why would we do that? Why would we do that and look for a city whose architect? Why? Because God told us there's a city that we're going to. That's why we believe it, because God told us there is one. See? And so, okay, God, using a secular, okay, God, I'm buying into this. You know, there's a city, and I don't belong here. But there's something better that I'm looking to, okay? And then you have verse 16, and it says this. They were longing. What are you longing for? They were longing. These people, Abel, Enoch, Abraham, Noah, you know, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. You see what the difference are in these people? It's like, no, I believe God. I believe He's made a city. I know I don't belong here. There's something bigger and better. And there's a better country, a heavenly one. We're going someplace. We're going someplace. And therefore, they believed it so much, they believe God now, here. And then it says, this is what God thinks. The last part of verse 16. Because of that, therefore, God is not ashamed to call them. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, you got that. God is not ashamed to be called their God. You know, somebody just look for, oh, God, he said, don't call me that. Oh, come on, but just don't call me that. I don't, you know, don't. I'm not happy about that. You know, I don't want other people thinking what you believe is right. You know, talk somebody else. That's funny how it's phrased there. Therefore, God is not ashamed of us because have faith.
oh man, I'm not ashamed of Enoch. I'm so tickled with him. I just want to come up and have some fun with him. Let's bring him up here. See? Oh man, me and Enoch, we'll have a blast. I'm not ashamed of Enoch. He calls me God. I'm not ashamed of Abel. I'm not ashamed of Abraham. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Noah. I'm not ashamed of those people. See, he's not ashamed. And the sentence goes like this: God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. You see what he's saying? See, they believe that. They said, this is where we're going. No, I don't. They're kind of saying, this decision is not really that hard. I know where we're going, and I don't. This is not living up to it, and so I'm going to start making decisions so that I can be in the presence of God. And this other stuff is just messing with me. And I don't want that. There's something bigger. You see what he's saying? But do you see what faith is? You believe it. Oh, God, come on, give me. Stop it. Just believe what I told you. You see what's that? So, fascinating. Okay, fascinating. So what it's telling us here, we need, again, it's have faith. It says live by faith. We need a heavenly mindset, a heavenly purpose, a heavenly purpose to live by faith. Now we have somebody here that really, the next one he shows us, really pulls all of this together. And again, these are just regular people. These are just regular people. It's Moses. It's Moses. We clearly see all this in Moses. And I love Moses' call. I love Moses' call and Jeremiah's call. You know, because he called Moses. He goes, God, I can't talk. Oh, come on. You know, I mean, just think about God. Here you see majesty and ego. God, that's good. I can't talk. I don't like getting up in front of people. I can't talk. Jeremiah, you are a prophet. God, I don't want to be a prophet. I don't want that. You just go get somebody. Yeah, I don't want to do that. You see? So I really like these guys for that point because I can't get past that. But anyway, here we are. We see this clearly in Moses. Now what we have in Moses, this context here, the context is that he had at his fingertips all the treasures of the world. Everything at his fingertips. In the known world, the greatest empire at that time, Moses had at his fingertips all the glory, power, and treasure. He had it. He had everything. And so, even though he had all this at his fingertips, he was looking for something greater. Moses was looking for something greater. So I don't have an overhead here, but you can read it. So I'm going to read you Hebrews 11, 24 through 27. Fascinating now about Moses' mindset. Okay, we're talking about mindset. Why don't I have faith? It's your mindset. Okay, why don't, it's your mindset. What do you believe? You heard, do you believe it or not? Do you believe it or not? So, here we have, by faith, Moses. Okay, so he heard something, right? He heard something. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Mm-mm. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. What did he do? I don't want it. I got it all. No. I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to make a decision and my life's going to go perfect and everybody will love me and it's just the glory on heaven. No, he knew what he was doing. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. These are my people. These are my people. You know, it goes back to Hebrews. Says, don't forsake the meeting together. You guys need each other. Says, it's going to be some tough stuff. So he chose to be mistreated, and that means suffer the abuse of the world, when he says mistreated, along with the people of God, we're together as a group of people, rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. You know, I was talking, there was a couple, and we knew, and they're talking to their children. And they says, you just got to stay away from sin. You just stay away from sin because it's just not fun. It is not enjoyable and it's destructive. Well, half of that's true. See, sin is a lot of fun, you know. And see, Abraham and Moses knew sin was a lot of fun. See, but what he did, he goes, no, the fleeting pleasures of sin. That's what he said. He said, I know the pleasures of sin. Fleeting pleasures to sin, and it's fleeting, and I'm choosing eternal. See, so it's good to know. Don't lie to somebody. No, it's pleasurable, but it's fleeting, so you want to make an eternal decision. Why would you make an eternal decision? Because you believe God has built a city for you, and he's going to take you to that city. That's why you have faith. Oh, I just love Jesus. Okay, good. But when push comes to shove, why? Because I know there's a reward, which says in verse 6. There's a reward. There's a city. And so I make a decision not to do this and to do this. It's a decision. Moses says it's a decision. He made the decision. He made the decision. And then he says, he regarded, again, this is 25 2,000 years before Christ, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Now, there's a mouthful right here. First of all, he's doing this for the sake of Christ. He saw it as a greater value. For evidently, does God speak to the people? Is it connected when God speaks to people of faith? Yeah, that's how you have faith. He tells you something. You know what he told Moses? He said, listen, this is, you're going to have to make a decision here, but I'm going to tell you something about Jesus. This is what's going to happen. Moses, nobody knows, but I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Moses, I got you. See, there was a revelation to there's a revelation to Moses about Jesus. Okay. You understand, Moshe? Okay, make the decision. Give you a little insight. You got everything, but look at what you want to look at. Look at Jesus. He tells him about Jesus. And so you look, boy, this makes a difference. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Jesus, that God told him about Jesus. And you, through Jesus, you have this eternal reward. And it's of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt. Because, look, because, see, faith is because, you know, I just have faith. No, because you have faith for a reason. Because he was looking ahead to his reward. What does verse 6 say? Faith is believe God exists and he rewards. See, oh, God doesn't reward and you don't need. No, he tells you to do it. If he tells you to do it, I don't care what somebody else, I'm going to do it. I'm looking forward to that city. So I'm going to make a decision. And Moses made a decision. He was looking ahead to the reward, meaning he saw the reward. He saw the city. He saw Jesus. How did he see that? God told him. He said, all right, I make the decision. Faith. Told, decision. Faith. And he acted on it. He acted on it. So you have this picture. You have this picture that is really fascinating. And then it ends with this, verse 27. Are you ready for verse 2? Still, it's not done with Moses. By the way, Moses ain't no different than us. He's no different. You know, Adam just had the song about Elijah. Okay, do you know what about it? It mentions Elijah and James. You know what it says about Elijah? Elijah, just a guy like us. That's what he says about Elijah. So he's just a guy like us. Well, how did he do all that stuff? He believed what God told him, and God did it. That's the only thing that made him any difference. The only thing that made Moses any difference, he heard God and he did what God told him. See? So, verse 27, this Moses persevered. Hallelujah, period. We all rejoice, and he's a tough cookie. That's not what it says. Listen what it does say. Moses persevered because, there was a because he persevered. Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Now, I'll ponder that one and go with it, man. But I don't see. You ain't supposed to see. You're not going to see. You believe because what I told you. Because what I told you, see. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't show you different things like that. But the point is, no, you believe, you believe and you persevere because Moses persevered because he saw him who's invisible. I saw God. He spoke to me. It was so real. It's like I could see him, but he spoke to me. Now, what he's saying here, these folks know chapters 1 through 10. See, you know what chapters 1 through 10. He spoke to them, chapters 1 through 10. And he spoke that Moses had the idea, chapters 1 through 10. And because he saw him who is invisible. And we live in this physical world serving a God who's invisible. But we believe. How do you believe in something you can't see? Well, he just spoke to us. I know because he spoke to us. Now, so this is, you see, the decision that Moses made. So this is basically, he made this decision to believe God. God spoke to him, and he made the decision to follow him. Now, by faith, this is Moses, by faith, the most stunning, eye-popping miracles in the whole Bible done by God were done through Moses. They were. The biggest miracles in the Bible, the whole context of them, God did through Moses. Who was Moses? Just a guy. He's a guy. Just a guy. Moses, I'm calling you to take my people out of Egypt. God, I can't even talk. I won't go. I don't like people. I don't like talking to people. No, I like it in the desert. You know, no. See, like, that was this, you. And you love that comment to Moses. And he goes, I can't speak. And he goes, Moses, who made your mouth? Isn't it amazing? He goes, who made your mouth? Me. You can speak. You see what I'm saying? It's so fascinating. Because we put, look at Moses, he's high, and he was a mighty man of God. But the of God has to be underlined three or four times. Because God, and you know what he finally did? That Moses, and again, it's because we should have faith. We should have faith. So Moses can't talk. He said, I made you mouth. He still wouldn't do it. He's all right. Aaron, your brother, he's coming. How do you know to come? I don't know. So he's talking to Moses. So he's got Aaron, his brother, coming. And you know, you got to love simple just talk. He said, Aaron, you know, your brother Aaron, he can talk. Everybody knows he can talk. I mean, you know, you ever meet somebody, they can just talk. Okay, we got Aaron. He can talk, all right? So he can talk. I'll tell you, you tell Aaron, and then he'll tell everybody else. That's what he said, you know? You can't say no, but your brother can. With Aaron, you know, and then halfway through the miracles and all the way, you see Moses kind of stepped up. You know, he said, I think I can do the same thing Aaron did. Instead of just telling him, I'm going to say it. And so you see kind of transition where Moses starts talking on his own, you know. But it took a while. Took a while for him to get there. And it's just funny. So you got Aaron to speak. Now, how solid was Aaron? How solid was Aaron? Now, he's speaking for Moses, okay? Well, when Moses is finally get the gear and he's talking, he goes to the mountain. Let me tell you what kind of guy Aaron was. He goes to the mountain. You know, he's talking to God now. Moses finally got his act together. And so Aaron's down there, and all the people say, oh, Moses gone. He ain't ever coming back. What's going to happen to us? He said, well, I don't know. Give me a bunch of all your gold, and we'll be through. So they give him all the gold, melt it, and they make a calf. Aaron did that. Aaron did that. Made a calf. Like that. And then Moses comes down and says, what are you doing? He told Aaron, what are you doing? You know, and Aaron, God bless him. Aaron go, I don't know. They just threw this gold in and this calf came out. That's what he said. I'm not ad-libbing. That's what he said. They just threw it in there and this calf came out. Wasn't me, brother. See, that was the one speaking from Moses, because Moses wouldn't say nothing. All right, Moses, you tell him and just tell him to say what you said, all right? But you stand beside him because he'll go off cocked here. I know where Aaron's going, you know. You see what I'm saying? So Moses, he had to work Moses into this position. What made Moses different? He believed God did what God said, you know. I don't know what happened. You know, Aaron finally came around, I guess, you know. But, you know, he was interesting character. So, what we have here, we have, and which is in the recent, you know, going these explanations, we have, and this is what Hebrews is telling us. Hebrews is telling us this one fact. We have the same God as Moses. That's exactly what he's telling. That is the reason that this is put in chapter 11 of Hebrews, to tell us that we have the same God as Moses. He goes, believe me. Believe me. You have the same God as Moses. We need to have the same mindset as Moses. Have the same God. That's not the issue. We have to have the same mindset. We have to believe. We have to believe. And then we have the same mindset, then we should persevere because we see him who's invisible. You see what he's telling? Do you see what he's telling us in chapter 11? Chapter 10, you got all the information you need. It's not going to do you a whit of good unless you have the mindset to make the decision and you'll persevere because you see him who's invisible. That's what all these people did. Abel, all the way down. Enoch, Noah, Abraham, you know, Moses, they all did the same thing. The one consistent thing, God spoke, they saw him who's invisible, and they did what he said. That's the difference, the mindset. And by the way, it wasn't like, okay, I want wonderful things, everything in this world. Although he gives us rewards here, he goes, no, you have a city that God built. You have a city that God built. I'm just telling you, got the city God built. You know, I'm sure he told Abraham. I mean, when you look at the structures of Egypt, you know, people can't believe what the Egyptians built. They can't believe. See, they weren't smart enough. They didn't have enough equipment to do it. They're like, aliens built it. You know, that's sounds like Elon Musk. He'll come it that far. He says, I don't know how all this got here. And God said, no, I created these guys in my own image. These guys built that city. He built that city. Look, Moses, you see what man has done? You see what man's done? He goes, I got a better city that I built. All right. I'm going to believe you and do what you said. And we do it. But what about so-and-so? Hey, I can't tell you about so-and-so, you know? I can't tell you about them. They have to believe. They have to act, you know? And it's our decision. It's our decision. We see him who's invisible. Now, I got to speed up now. I didn't mean to get so much time in Moses. It was just coming. Anyway, here we have, as people of faith, we need to make decisions of faith. As people of faith, we need to make decisions. Again, we're Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29. Don't have an overhead, but look here. By faith, the people, oh man, he brought all the people in. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Just go through the, have faith. Okay, you're going to drown all these folks because God didn't tell them to go through the Red Sea. You know, we're just saying jump in. You know, no, God's got to speak to you. And your Red Sea, then he'll part it, and then you go. But if he didn't tell you go, you'll drown. See? And it's so clear here. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. God is speaking to us. Now, this has got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to this, all right? God is speaking to us. The most destitute and sinful person can hear God, embrace faith, believe, and be rewarded. Amen? You want me to prove it to you? I'm going to prove it to you. Next verse. And I do have an overhead for this one because I want you to remember it. This is proof for us. Proof that we should have faith like Moses. It's all in context. God. Hebrews 11:31. By faith, the prostitute, Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were obedient. Now, God, you had a lot of folks to pick from on faith. You know, you had a whole mess of them. You know, it's just like, really? Really? You kidding me? I mean, right here after Moses. Right here after Moses. Not only is she in the Hall of Fame of faith, not only, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, Rahab, the Gentile prostitute, is recorded in the line of Christ. Let me tell you about my grandmother. What? I mean, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Rahab was David's great-great-grandmother. It's like, oh, I want to be in the line of Christ. You are, brother. Right with Rahab. You see? I'm going to ask you, why? Why? Tell me why God did this of all the people. Why her? And all the people, why did he put her in the Christ lineage? You know what? Here's the reason why. Because of me and you. He said, man, I just want to show you I can get you in too. That's all I'm telling. I can show you get you in too. You know? He said, I'm not much like Abel. I'm a lot like Rahab. Okay, I'm in. Good. I can be in. I can be in. See, these heroes of faith, including Rahab, these heroes of faith had an eternal view. They had an eternal view. It's not here. We're strangers here. We're strangers. They had eternal view. They had a vision that could see forward, you know, more than this dirt here. In verse 35, it tells us this. Again, these heroes of faith, Rahab, the whole bunch, back to Abel. In verse 35, it tells us that many withstood tortures, knowing they would gain a better resurrection and heavenly reward. Again, many withstood tortures, being tortured. Why? Now, it says here that they'd receive a better resurrection. We do. What we do here, we carry on to the next life. You know, it talks about building treasures in heaven. You know? And I always told you, you know, I don't think I'll have any, but I'll get there. You know, I'll get there. Okay. I'll have a pair of gym shorts on, but I'll get there. You know, nothing. And that's good. You know, I'm happy to get there. But, you know, some people come in and decked out. They're going to come in and go, oh, man, y'all looking good. And you're going to pour out the blessings upon them. They're going to look. And he even talks about the beauty of, you know. But does everybody get there and get a white sheet? So I'm going to have a white sheet. Okay, and I'm good with white sheet. You know, it says it's white is for righteousness. And he gives everyone a white sheet. You know, and I need a white sheet because it covers up all the garbage. You see what I'm saying? Now, so the point of it is, these people, why would you go through torture and not give up the faith? Why? Because I'll get a better resurrection. Because I'll get a reward, and God will bless it, and God said, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased. That pleases me that you're making that dedicated stand to me. Killed Abel, but he stood for me. See, it's a better resurrection. That's what he's telling us. That's what he's telling us here. And then he goes on to verse 38, and he says this. We talk about all the people in the world, you know. Verse 38 says, God, the world was not even worthy of them. Rahab, the world, you know, you're not even worthy of Rahab. You're not even worthy of her. She's so far above you, you can't imagine. The world's not even worthy of those who have faith in Christ. That's God's view. See, that's God's view. That's the point he's telling us that. What you're looking up to, the world's not even worthy of you. Not even worthy of you. Now, yet we read these, and here we read these heroes of faith. Then it says this. Now, this is just knock your socks off, okay? It just does, okay? All these heroes of faith, and then God says, hey, I got something better for you. I got something better for you. You see what? I got something better for you. Look at Hebrews 11:40, and just let it soak in. Let it soak in. Everything we talked about. Hebrews 11:40. God has planned something better for us, so that only together with us would these heroes be made perfect. He said, you got more than they got. That's what he said. You got more than they got. It says it right here. Believe it. You got it. Believe it. And I heard pastor tell me someone, he's like, we have a bank account with $1 million in it, and we won't use it. We're the only one that make a withdrawal, but we won't use it. But you got it. And he goes, use what they're giving you. Use it. So he's talking about this faith. Well, use it. What are you talking about? Believe what I told you. Did you know our salvation, we trust in our salvation. We have the same salvation. We're totally forgiven, cleansed by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah. That gets us into heaven. But did you know that God will speak to each of us different? That he'll speak to me different than he speaks to you. What he speaks to you is not necessarily what he will speak to you. And what he's telling you is not necessarily what he's going to tell me. And so you watch, and because he works with each individual in individual ways, but he's telling them something and leading them if you're listening to God. Okay, and he's taking care of you, and then you believe when he speaks to you and you start stepping out in what he tells you, he opens the door. And you say, then he opens the door. And you say, he opens the door. See, and but he'll tell you different things. And if you go to places where God hadn't told you to go, it's like the Egyptians trying to go through the Red Sea. You go through and you just get overwhelmed. You go through, you get overwhelmed. It never works out, you know. And so, what am I doing the right thing? And he said, yeah, you're doing the right thing. Just keep going and trust in me. And then all of a sudden, it opens. All of a sudden, you see him work. All of a sudden, he speaks to you more. All of a sudden, it goes into your heart. You find a joy in doing certain things you're doing. You find him leading to certain places we're going. And you're paying attention to him and to heaven. It's going to be different than somebody else. somebody else. You see what I'm saying here? This is what he's telling us here. Aren't all these people unbelievable people of faith? He goes, I got something better for you. And they're not really going to be able to see it until they see it in you. That's what he's saying. Seeing in us. Now, God is telling us today that he has something greater for us, better than anything these heroes of faith received. That's what he's telling us. We're going to receive more than they received. So how can you say that? Because God just said that. You know, it's like, okay, all right, Lord, if that's what you're saying. And so we need to have faith. So you say, well, okay, where do we start? I'm back up. Here's where we start. Look at this, Isaiah 66:2. This is where we start, people. This is where we start. Have faith. Isaiah 66:2. This is God speaking. This is the one whom I will look. He who is humble. Now, humble, I got to, you know, whip myself on the back and go around in dirty clothes. No. Humble means you allow God to do it. That's all that means. You allow God to do it. That's all humble means, okay? So, this is the one whom he looks. He who is humble and contrite in spirit. Okay? Humble and contrite in spirit. Humble yourself before the Lord and you're contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. I don't have time for the Bible. Have at it. You know, fight this world, fight the battles, you know. Run around, do what you want to. Try to swim across the Red Sea because it's not going to part. You know, it's like trembles at the word. Maybe I should read this. Maybe I should ask God to speak because that's what chapter 11 is saying. And that's what all these people did. You know, the faith is hearing God. And they tremble at my word. See, our faith decisions are based on the Word of God. Now, I'm going to read this New Testament verse to you, but it's really important tying into this. You have faith, you know, again, it's here and to do what he tells you. He tells you. Be careful about hearing and telling somebody else. If God wanted to talk to them, he'd talk to them. You don't need to be like Aaron, you know, carrying around God's message, you know. No, let God speak to other people and then encourage them, but let God speak to them. You usually make a lousy Holy Spirit for somebody else. I've tried to do that with my wife. It's never worked. I flunk on Holy Spirit. So, listen to this verse. Our faith decisions are based on the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Don't have an overhead, but just listen to it. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Apostle Paul speaking. You receive the Word of God. You receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, and you accepted it not as a human word, but as it actually is, the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. And what Paul say? You heard the Word of God, okay? And you took the Word, you took it as the Word of God. You didn't, oh, that sounds good. No, you took it as the Word of God, which is indeed at work in you. Not me working on you. The Word you share and the Word's working in you. You know, I'll just use this. You can tell sometimes I'm being a little facetious and stuff. It's how you leave this. You know, I really think this is right because this is what Wallace said. You ain't going nowhere. And, you know, and by tomorrow, you ain't going nowhere. But if you walked away, you know, God spoke. God spoke to me. There spoke. Then all of a sudden, doors fly open. You see, I didn't know that. Okay, I spoke. I need to search the scripture, see if that is true. See, and then doors fly open. But it's what God does. And it says here, you know, you accepted it as the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. God is at work because of something you heard. You heard. See, I hate to tell you this. You're standing in heaven and say, what'd you get out of it? Well, let me tell you what Wallace said. No, we ain't going there. He's too close to Aaron. You know, he talks a lot. And, you know, now, what did you get from God? Tell me what God told you. See, now that's not going to happen. But the example is, he definitely is not going to ask you what I said. That's the truth. Thus saith the Lord. He not gonna. So here we are. Make a faith decision. We'll close in this. Acts 16:31. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your whole family. There it is. There it is. That's all. That's all of Hebrews. That verse is all of Hebrews right now. And he says, I'm looking for people who will hear me and then do what I say. Again, hear God and do what I say. Not somebody else, well-meaning people. Now again, we hear God and do what God says. And all God's people said. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. And again, as we went through these three messages on faith, we hope it just, you know, you speak to us and you would just be our teacher. And that truly, you would guide us through this life and the difficulties that we face every day. And that, Lord, you care about each one of us more than we can ever imagine. And our prayer is to each person. Our prayer to each person is, oh, God, just speak to them and guide them. And we pray that they can look up to you and you would guide them in everything they do. That is our prayer. That is a prayer for myself. That is prayer for everyone else, that God would speak and touch each individual and guide each individual as he sees fit. And that truly you're going to orchestrate the world around each individual to teach them as you see fit, that you care so deeply about each person. We are loved by you. We are loved by you. And we thank you for that. And so, God, we praise your holy name, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.